Blog Talk Radio.
Mainlining caffeine. Y'all need to be afraid.
Uh-oh. I am a little bit afraid. A little bit, just a tiny bit.
And fall is coming. I can really feel it today.
Yes, yes it is. It's so nice because my AC has stopped working. That's the other wonderful thing. Thankfully, it's at the end of summer. It's fall. It's cool. So, yeah. That's all kinds of fun. I'm telling you, man. One thing breaks, everything breaks.
One thing breaks, everything breaks?
It seems to be the way it goes, you know? Well, it is Tuesday. Oh, my God, I can't believe it's Tuesday. Do we have, like, another holiday coming up, right?
I don't know. I just know that when it is going into fall, when other things are going into hibernation, that's when I wake up. Oh, God! I forgot to email my new friends. I gotta get my wintertime MMO ready. I don't know what's gonna be playing.
I'm really, really kinda leaning towards Guild Wars 2 right now.
I can't do Guild Wars. I love y'all, but you will never get me into Guild Wars, and y'all may coax me into WoW, but I tell you now, if you're not playing, I'm gonna be mad. Like Blaster coaxed Snow into playing, and then he doesn't come on. Oh, that's a no-no. I will kill all of you.
That's not cool. Blaster!
And hello to you, Horace.
Good morning, Mr. Horace.
I had an inside joke inside my own head. All right.
Oh, yeah? What kind of inside joke
I can't say it. It's daytime. I can't say it.
Do y'all see this? Y'all see she won't share. She's just so mean.
I would love to share. I will share with you some news that I have.
Oh, what you got?
Well, this is not good for the U.S., but it's good for Ireland.
Yeah.
hello to you, Irish people. Okay. I'll tell you about that later. Okay, so EA has created 300 new jobs in Galway, Ireland. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yes, very nice. They announced the creation of 300 new jobs in their European Customer Service Center of Excellence in Galway, Ireland. Building on the foundation of its existing facility, EA said they will now provide multilingual international customer support and services for its major game titles. This investment is supported by the Irish government through IDEA Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Taosach, and I could be saying that wrong, Inda Kenny, TD, is this person's name, said, it's less than a year since I attended the opening of the EA facility in Galway, and I am delighted to announce today that EA has made the decision to invest further in Ireland by locating their strategically important customer experience center here. This decision is a real endorsement of Ireland's ability to meet the needs of leading multinational companies in the digital media space. I wish EA every success with this new center and offer the continued support of the Irish government as the company continues to develop here. Peter Moore is quoted as saying, the EA European Customer Experience Center is the focal point of our strategy to serve gamers on a global basis. In today's fast-moving digital environment, we need to engage our worldwide customer base on a 24/7 basis across all of EA's games and services and in multiple languages. Galway's mix of technology infrastructure and talent availability combined with a pro-business environment will help us expand our existing foundation here. We're proud to be part of Ireland's growth into cutting-edge digital industries.
And actually, that
particular office was inaugurated September of last year, and they are recruiting for a broad range of jobs and skills. If you are needing a job, you can check out our job boards and look for EA there. Or if you just really want to go, you're in a hurry, you don't want to stop by our site, jobs.ea.com will also get you there. I am excited. I'm happy to hear that, but at the same time, this is not going to go over well.
No.
You better get some, I'll put it this way, anybody that you have on the, on your staff, that you have on your staff there, better be Americans or they better all be Irish. Because Americans do love the Irish, but if they're not, if they're of some other ethnicity, it's going to go over horribly. And it's not to say that we, you know, that we believe in, you know, being mean to people of other ethnicities. It's just this is what I hear on a daily basis. I hear some of the most racist and vile things about people that are not American from people that call customer service. They don't like it. Americans do not. They're not liking that the customer service is not here or that they're not speaking to Americans. And I'm being nice.
No, exactly. Like I know. And I hate complaining because I understand everybody needs a job. But when I call customer service for something here in the U.S., say my internet connection, I want to talk to someone here in the U.S. who understands me, who I can understand, and who I don't have to ask to repeat themselves four times to understand a basic sentence. And it's not that they're bad, you know, and I got to give them props for learning, you know, the English language.
Because we don't learn other languages here.
No, because we are lazy here. We don't do it. We are one of the few countries who do not teach our children multiple languages.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Yes.
So I'm worried this is not going to go over well. EA, please drop a couple of centers here. If you're going to do it 24 hours, let the daytime ones be here. You got to do something.
Yeah.
There is a whole everybody's hating everybody, let's put it that way, all over the world. Everybody's really hating, and they're openly doing it, so.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit sad how that works.
It is. It's very sad, but that is life for us now.
Yeah.
Mom, I'm not, I just, let me tell you this way, and I'm going to tell you, this is what I heard yesterday where my mouth just dropped open. Y'all know all of us here have many jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a lady yesterday say about her modem, no wonder it doesn't work. It was made in China. And I did exactly what you did. I went,
wow.
trust me, there's a whole lot of anti other people. And I'm saying other people. That doesn't even matter now. At first, it used to be we Americans disliked one group of people. Now it's we don't like any of you. I didn't even know what to say. You know, what can I say to that?
Wow. What do you say to that? Holy.
I don't know what to say. I mean, for all she knew, I could have some Chinese. I might have some Chinese back in the family tree. So these are the things that people are saying. This is what they're feeling, they're thinking. So you all out there that are still outsourcing your customer service, you may want to think about it. And those of you who do customer service here in the U.S., you all need to step up your game. Because even though these people can't speak English well, they're still doing a better job somewhere down the line. So you got to make it so that, you know.
Something,
you're
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Scary. Anyway, we're all off the topic, kind of, sort of.
We are. All right. This is kind of cool. The April Gamers Foundation, who I think we've worked with a couple of times.
Yep.
BioWare Mythic's Paul Barnett joins Able Gamers Advisory Board.
Nice.
Uh-huh. So we're on GamePolitics.com this morning. The Able Gamers Foundation announced this morning that Paul Barnett, creative director for BioWare Mythic, I love Mythic, is joining the advocacy group's advisory board for the foundation. Barnett, who is colorblind himself, brings firsthand knowledge to both the gaming industry and the disability community. The group hopes that this addition to its advisory board will push the game accessibility movement to the next level. You know what, Paul? I bet you're one of those who hated that. Oh, God, what dungeon was that? And wow. We had the safety dance, is what we called it. And it was the floor lit up in different colors, and you had to stand in a certain color. And for us colorblind people, that sucked. All right, so Paul is one of the earliest and greatest champions of accessible games. This is coming from Mark Barlett, president and founder of Able Gamers Foundation. The very first time I spoke to Mr. Barnett, he shared very personal and touching stories of experiences he had with helping disabled gamers. The level of passion and care he has for the disability community is almost tangible. I am honored to join the Able Gamers Foundation and to start taking a more hands-on role in bringing game accessibility to the next level. This is again from Paul Barnett. Over the years, I have had the opportunity to work with gamers with disabilities who expressed great appreciation for small things I was able to do to help give them a quality experience in games they love. Those letters and conversations are some of the most precious moments of my career as a developer. It's my hope that by joining the Able Gamers Foundation, I will be able to help even disabled gamers have special and joyous experiences like everyone else. You know what? I hope you do too, because this is awesome. The Able Gamers Foundation really is a good group of guys, and they really do work for a really great cause. So if you happen to have, you know, a little bit of change laying around, whatnot, go hit them up, throw some money their direction. They really do great things for the gaming community.
They
and
do
that's
indeed.
ablegamers.com. Mm.
No tweeting me during the show. I'm officially banning you. Officially banning you from tweeting me during the show. Ooh, the coffee's kicking in, and I got a weird headache thing going on. Just kind of vertigo. It's all kinds of good and bad up in here. Anyway.
Oh.
Okay, so Zynga. I got two stories with Zynga. Okay, let me start with the bad news first. Zynga lost yet another person. Oh, last week they were hemorrhaging people. Like,
how did they lose another person?
Mr. Wilson Kriegel, who's the former chief revenue officer of OMG Pop, has gone from Zynga. He recently, or up until recently, focused on advertising, monetization, and business development at Zynga Mobile. Excuse me, GamesBeat is the one that reported the exit of the employee who joined Zynga in March of this year, as a matter of fact, as part of the acquisition of Draw Something developer OMG Pop. He joined OMG Pop in March 2010 as chief revenue officer. And, of course, you all know there's been a wave of high-profile departures from the social gaming company in recent months, including COO John Shepard, CMO John Karp, CCO Mike Verdue, and a number of general managers. Kriegel has not said what he's planning to do with his future. You all are jumping ship like rats, just. On one hand, I understand. On the other hand, that's not very honorable. Anyway, should stay and go down with the ship. I'm saying.
Exactly, yes.
You didn't mind being on the ship when you were making
mm-hmm.
the money. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Zynga said this actually happened before. This next story about them happened before the other guy left. So he's left after this has gone down. Zynga has announced that they've acquired a developer called A Bit Lucky from San Mateo, California, for an undisclosed amount. The developer has previously released two Facebook games, Lucky Space and Lucky Train, and they call themselves the new generation of social games. GI International spoke with Zynga VP Bill Jackson, whose Dallas studio bought out Castleville. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
And he also spoke with A Bit Lucky's founders, CEO Frederick Deschamps, and CCO and CTO Jordan Maynard about the acquisition. He said, "Our started mission at Zynga is connecting the world through games, and I've always believed the way to do that is to deliver the absolute best social games on every category across multiple platforms." He said, "In the last year, we've grown into new categories. We've got Zynga Arcade and titles like Bubble Safari and Ruby Blast, which represent new gameplay for our players. We've also talked in the past and hinted at new game categories that we'd like to enter as well. The amount Zynga Patty for acquisition is unknown. Today, we're not disclosing the terms of this deal, you know, that whatever they paid for them. So today, we're very excited to announce the very beginnings of our efforts to expand into a category that we've talked about before, which is mid-core multi-platform games." Apparently, somebody's been listening to the girls over at the Gamer Girls Radio.
Mm-hmm. What?
It says, "To bolster those efforts, I want to make an announcement about a small acquisition today. The talented team of A Bit Lucky. Yay. They're a studio focused on creating mid-core multi-platform games. They're going to be joining Zynga as part of Zynga San Francisco." And they said that team is made up of veterans from the game industries, companies like Trion Worlds and Xfire, as well as other companies. All 20 of A Bit Lucky's employees, including a few of his friends and veterans, Frederick Deschamps and Jordan Maynard, are going to become part of Zynga San Francisco with their team. Zynga is moving forward a bit, moving forward with a game that A Bit Lucky has been working on for several months. They've been working on a game called Solstice Arena, which is a mid-core multi-platform game, and they're going to keep working on that as part of Zynga in San Francisco. Jackson also wanted to point out that the effort Zynga is putting into developing games in genres other than the casual games and simulations — those are not simulations, y'all need to stop that, quit lying — that they are known for. He says, "I do want to mention that along with A Bit Lucky, This represents a more coordinated effort. We have many talented teams working on different categories of play inside Jenga. He also noted some key recent hires. In fact, he says we recently hired John Tobias. You know, that guy that created that little game called Mortal Kombat.
Yay!
Yeah, he's going to be working in San Francisco with Mark Trammell. Says we've also hired Soren Johnson, who's been working with Zynga East in Baltimore. You know what? I'm going to cut all this short because this is an extremely long story. But good luck to you, Zynga. I'm glad you're listening because you're not going to get by with no Castleville and Cafe World. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. It's fast food of games. And you know what happens to fast food? You eat it and you forget about it. Mm-hmm. You ate it because you were hungry. It's not because you wanted it. It's just because you were hungry and it was there. We all want us a game and steak. Make it thick and juicy.
Mm-hmm. Nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom.
I'm sitting here looking at my nails. I painted my nails black, and then I got help. You've seen those pins you can get now, the nail art pins? Yeah, and I painted little orange ghosts like what you find on Pac-Man on my nails last night. So
okay, pictures. You got to go up on the Pinterest in the fact.
I'll have to do that. They're not, like, all that cute. They're kind of messy looking, but it was fun to do anyways.
See, we wouldn't have known that. You have to, you know, say it like it's on purpose.
Right, so unsurprisingly, no Flash support in the Wii U browser. Apple's not doing it. Why would Nintendo do it? Okay, so pulling this from GamePolitics.com, more details about the web browser you'll use in the Wii U when it is released in November has been released, with some sad news for anyone that likes Flash. It's not supported. The news comes from footage from the Wii U's internet browser functionality that is part of the Japanese Nintendo Direct presentation. The video shows that the software uses the Wii U gamepad's various inputs and allows for multitasking while surfing, which is, they say, pretty rad. Well, I haven't heard anyone say rad in a while. This isn't much of a change from the Wii's browser's software and other Nintendo platforms, which also didn't offer Flash support. On the plus side, the browser will support HTML5. Awesome. All right, so if you want to see the video, I am going to tweet it right now. So I'm hitting tweet right now. Check it out. Ginger over on Twitter, GINGIRR. Check it out. I'm not surprised. I mean, Apple with the iPhone stopped supporting Flash after, what, the first iPhone, right?
Yeah.
And like they said, the Wii hasn't supported Flash the entire time.
Well, they were using Opera, and I don't think it ever had Flash on it.
No. So, people, move away from Flash, okay? It's laggy. It's not very good. Just don't do it.
Well, Flash is going to have to do some redesigns or something.
Yeah.
You know what? I hate to say this. I'm going to be the first. I want you all to hear it from me first. I may be breaking up with Virgin Mobile.
Why? You love Virgin Mobile.
I do. I love them dearly. But sometimes you just realize when it's not good, a good relationship. Virgin Mobile is now being called a ticking security time bomb.
Why?
Yeah, developer Kevin Burke is claiming that the carrier's poor web security standards are exposing customers' data to attack. Yeah, the heart of this vulnerability lies in Virgin Mobile's six-digit PIN password system, which Burke says can be breached via brute force tactics. This is where the real trouble arises. Once a hacker gains access to accounts, they can wreak havoc by snooping on SMSs and call recordings and changing account passwords and even buying new phones. While these are serious security problems in their own right, the more worrying thing is that Virgin Mobile says, we don't care.
They don't care?
Yep, in a post.
Bless
I had to
you.
Sneeze. You heard me sneeze?
No, I heard you mute yourself, though.
In the post, Burke is detailing that his lengthy history of contact with Virgin Mobile, which culminated in a collective shrug from the company. He says, I reported the issue to Virgin Mobile a month ago, and they still have not taken any action, nor informed me of any concrete steps to fix the problem, so I'm disclosing this issue publicly. And this is what you're supposed to do, hackers. You go and let them know first before you release it publicly. You don't just let it go. Give them a chance to fix it.
Exactly.
With security breaches popping up left and right this year, it is absolutely amazing that Virgin Mobile's stance on the concerns haven't been more proactive. What's more amazing is how easy it is to fix this little problem. Burke is recommending, for instance, that Virgin Mobile simply allow users to create more complex passwords and employ two-step verification. Still, in spite of the increasing media coverage, the company's reactions to the allegations have been tepid. They're saying, we are reviewing the systems we have in place and conducting audits to ensure our standards are being met, including for Virgin Mobile, a spokesperson for Virgin Mobile parent company Sprint told Wired. In matters of security, it seems that Virgin Mobile customers are on their own. Unfortunately, perfect security does not exist on the Internet, and therefore Virgin Mobile makes no representations or warranties.
There's not a perfect security on the Internet?
And they make no representations or warranties with regard to the sufficiency of our security measures. And that's what their privacy policy says. You know, Virgin.
What happened was.
I'm going to tell you like this. I am getting ready to load up the box, and you know where it's going to be. To the left, to the left. You get it together. I'm going to give you all a week or two. I'm going to give you a week to straighten up. And then I'm moving on, and I already know where I'm going, to the crickets.
Ooh. Ooh, did you drive to the crickets?
I will go to the crickets. Cricket Wireless, that is. Cricket Wireless.
She threatened it. Oh, man.
I will go, and I will have a brand new droid, and I will be over there with the crickets.
The crickets.
And they will a hotspot on my phone when I want one. So I'm just saying.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
Yes, there's advantages to having a new phone boyfriend. I'm just saying, Virgin, work it out. Fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm out here.
All right, looks like a new game, possibly good for your kids. Unique Spellfighter Runic Rumble announced for iOS and Android. And they say, and now for something completely different. Runic Rumble, a wild, unpredictable fighting game where spells can be deadly. Runic Rumble can now be downloaded for $2.99, and it's available for Android and the iOS. Players were first introduced to 2D fighting games in Capcom's Street Fighter II, The World Warrior, and in 1993, Sega's Virtual Fighter defined the modern 3D fighter. Now, Runic Rumble takes a new turn in the fighting genre with a 2.5D perspective, precise gesture-based controls, and retina graphics filled with unbelievable particle effects, the likes of which players have never seen on mobile. The game is set in the world of Amora, a brand new universe concocted by Epiphany Games. And Amora, some things are exactly as they seem, and other things are anything but. Aki, a shaman, is on a mission to become a great wizard, a mischievous little creature with a sharp mind and even sharper tongue. Aki has just escaped the bonds of servitude. Short in stature and fearless, Aki will not stop until he unlocks new, ever more powerful spells and discovers the origins of his people. One night, while creeping around in an eerie, deserted campsite looking for food and maybe the odd trinket to pocket, Aki is accosted by a powerful and mysterious entity. Enraged by Aki's trespass, the entity transports Aki to another dimension, where he is forced to fight for the entity's entertainment. Will Aki be able to escape, or will the entity enslave Aki's soul forever? Alright, so I thought this was going to be... You know, they said Spellfighter, and I thought, you know, spell as in letters. But anyways, that's geeking me.
How old? But it should be. They said it was a kid's game, and it was supposed to help them. What the hell is that about?
I know. It's what I thought. I thought, maybe I'm running two stories together. I could be wrong. Experience stunning visuals and fast-paced gameplay. Use intuitive gesture-based controls. Choose from 24 spells, each with their own unique draw pattern. Battle through more than 22 campaign levels and 4 levels of guided training. Defeat endless waves of opponents in the challenge arena to score powerful spells. Learn new spell combinations in the free training mode. Combat enemies ranging from spellcasters to walking fiends. And play on both smartphones and tablets. Yay! All right, so I'm going to have this up on GameAndMatrix.com in just a little bit. So check it out then. Yes, do it. Oh, and by the way, that's new.gamingatrix.com.
Ay, caramba. All right. There are some interesting things happening over at Nintendo. I'm not sure if I like or dislike this. Nintendo is teaming up with some famous females for a new Play As You Are campaign. That's right. Olympic gold medalist Gabrielle Douglas is going to kick off a star-studded campaign featuring also Glee's Diana Agron and Modern Family Sarah Hyland to show you how... You don't have to be a gamer to enjoy games on Nintendo 3DS. Nintendo, wah-wah, don't like it already. Consumers in the United States will be seeing some famous faces talking about their love of the wide array of games and entertainment options available for the Nintendo 3DS and Nintendo 3DS XL handheld systems. On October 1st, Nintendo of America will launch a new campaign, again called Play As You Are, to show how all kinds of women and young girls can explore their interest and express their individuality using the portable Nintendo 3DS, whether they consider themselves gamers or not. TV stars, as I just mentioned to you, this is Diana Agron from Glee, Sarah Hyland from Modern Family and Olympic gold medalist Gabrielle Douglas are teaming up with Nintendo to showcase all the games and how Nintendo 3DS can provide players with fun and creative ways to challenge themselves and share what makes them unique. Each of the three celebrities participating in the Play As You Are campaign will show how games for Nintendo 3DS engage their respective interests and personalities. So the games, Gabrielle Douglas, they'll be showing you, of course, she's supposed to be the Mario Brothers 2, and the whole gold coin spin. Diana Argon is supposed to be a music lover, so they're saying she'll be featuring ads for Art Academy, Lessons for Everyone. This is a game that lets you learn how to paint and draw and all that stuff. She's also going to appear in spots that have Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask. And Sarah Hyland, who is a budding fashionista, will be playing Style Savvy Trendsetters, which is due out October 22nd, which lets you use thousands of items and accessories to create fabulous looks and manage your own customized clothing boutique, which sounds interesting, but I'm not happy about the ads. She'll also be in a holiday ad featuring Sparkle Snapshots, an app that lets you take 2D pictures and decorate them with 3D accents and share them with your friends. Nintendo, epic fail on this one. Sorry. We keep telling you all, it's not celebrities that get gamers to game. It's seeing other gamers that they know are gamers. These women are obviously not gamers. I'm sorry. You actually have to go out and find them. I'm proud of Miss Gabrielle. Congratulations on your Olympic gold medal, but I didn't see you holding a DS while you were waiting to go on the bars. If I had, I'd be like, that girl's a gamer. And then when you surf in the commercial, I'd be like, that girl's a gamer. Then I'm proud. I don't need somebody who's sticking the space. We want the real thing. We know a fake when we see one. Just like I can spot a fake Louis Vuitton, I can spot a fake gamer. Damn it. Anyway.
What happened was
it this? Are you offended by this as I am?
I do not know because I got a little bit distracted by
Nintendo's hiring celebrities, quote-unquote celebrities, again, to showcase their games. They did the same thing, and when the DS came out, they stuck Beyonce and a couple other people, and I'm like, I love Beyonce, but she's not a gamer. I don't see her playing the Nintendo DS or the Vita before she goes out on stage, because that's what a singer gamer would do. If you're going to get people, I want to see my who is it we let? Okay, we always talk about Vin Diesel. Why has he not been asked to do a gaming commercial? Rapper Exhibit.
You know, he really should, because he is a gamer.
Yeah, Rapper Exhibit. Rapper Exhibit used to have, I remember on MTV some years ago, he had a van that he takes with him on tour with the HGTV and the Xbox and everything else. It's his gaming van. These are the people we want to see. They're celebrities, but they also game, and we know they're gamers. So, yeah, I don't want to see these chicks.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't want to see those chicks either.
I want to see Felicia Day. Stick me a Felicia Day in a Nintendo commercial if you want to get a woman.
Ooh, that would be interesting. I like this.
And then I'll be like, oh, my God, Felicia Day doing Nintendo. That's going to get way more buzz in the gaming world than this will. And what you're not understanding is women who don't play games, they don't care who you put in front of them because they don't want to play.
No, they don't. And have you noticed, and maybe it's just been me because I've been, you know, watching more TV recently, the gamer hate, all the geek stuff. Oh, my God. What was it? They were talking about... Oh, they had something on the Daily Show where they ended up having the Ewoks come in, and whoever was playing the Ewoks got drunk and were, like, going crazy. And at the end of the episode, he was like, and I can't even believe I know who these people are, da-da-da-da. You know, and if you're upset about this, stop being such a geek or something like that. And I was like, really? Really? Are you going to knock me down because... I'm sorry. Just, like, anti-geekness going on recently.
Anti-geekery. That's all right.
As
the t-shirt says, the geek shall inherit the earth. So point all you like.
We shall. Yeah, you know.
Make fun all you like.
Yes. We encourage you. We make more than you do.
If it was not for us, John Daly, you would not have that lovely iPhone or whatever it is you're
popping. Exactly. Go ahead. Throw a fit. Talk about how much of a geek we are. You know,
Steve
live
Jobs
in our parents' basement.
Look, Steve Jobs was a geek. So was Bill Gates.
And if I remember right, he actually made the first PC in his mother's garage or something like that. Wasn't it?
Irk. I don't remember.
Somebody's garage.
I thought that was Bill Gates that did the PC in the garage.
Oh, look, my bad. You're right. Bill Gates. Oh, I'm going to like.
You're going to geek hell.
Yeah. Ooh. I can't believe I said that.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
See, all right. Do it. Do it, Ginger. Do it.
Live and new. Okay. I was posting that. All right. Borderlands 2. Yeah, baby. Borderlands 2, now available in North America.
Oh, I was talking about that yesterday, so it's out today. Whoop, whoop.
Yes. Cooperative shooter-looter franchise returns with bigger, better, more badass mayhem. Sees outstanding reviews and critical acclaim. Yeah, I was trying to decide. Am I gonna go away from that? No. All right. So, 2K Games and Gearbox today announces the much anticipated Borderlands 2 is now available in North America, and will be available also internationally come September 21st. So just a couple of days for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and PC. The four-player cooperative shooter-looter already has critics raving, with review scores 9 out of 10 from IGN, 9.75 out of 10 from Game Informer, and a perfect 10 from 10 from PlayStation, the official magazine. Seriously, do we need gaming magazines anymore? Have you noticed you get those, and like the news is so behind in those, it's not even funny? Anyways,
I think what's in the magazines need to shift. You don't need to be doing reviews anymore because, you know.
Yeah, by the time we get them, it's so old.
Yeah.
Borderlands 2 is a game made by gamers for gamers, says Christoph Hartmann, president of 2K.
Oh,
the unique visual art style, all new characters, loads of loot, 87 bazillion guns, and role-playing shooting combined for a truly addictive experience, especially when played with three other friends. The initial response from the press has been fantastic, and the game is poised to be one of the highest-rated titles in the history of 2K. Awesome. Okay, so like the original game, Borderlands 2 will be supported with four add-on content campaigns. These four add-on content campaigns will be available individually or as a combined purchase of the Borderlands 2 Season Pass. This special offer, available starting on September 18th, which is today, includes nearly $40 of add-on content and will be available for $29.99. That's not all that unreasonable. Once purchased, the Borderlands 2 Season Pass enables gamers to download all of the announced add-on content campaigns for free as they become available on the PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, and Windows PC. All four add-on content campaigns are scheduled to be available by June of 2013. And if you're wondering if this is okay for your kids, it is rated mature by the ESRB. And like I said, it's available on the Xbox 360, PS3, and Windows PC. And if you head over to GameAndMatrix.com in just a little bit, I will have this up for you.
All right. For some reason. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to read that. I don't want to talk about you, Mark Zuckerberg. I'm tired of mentioning saying your name.
Go away.
Does anybody else think of that Smucker's Jelly every time you say his name? Is it just me? I think of that whenever I say his name. Zuckerberg. I don't know. Jelly.
I never thought about it, but now I'm going to, of course. But now
I'm sorry. I have some visual imagery attached to a whole lot of words, but that's one of the ones. Whenever I say Zuckerberg, I think of that.
No, every time I think of him, I think about like the geek mafia or something.
Oh, he might be.
You know, he totally is. I mean, that's how like Facebook came to be. You know.
Ooh, Ginger's creating gaming and geek urban legend.
Yes, I am. Believe it all.
All right. There's a certain little indie company out there that should be proud and thumping their chest this morning because they are the first ever Xbox Live indie game to sell 1 million copies.
Yay! Who is it?
Wait a minute. I was trying to find some applause for them. Yay! It is Castle Miner Z.
Yay!
Four years after the service debuted, Xbox Live Indie Games has its first million-dollar seller. Digital DNA Games today announced that Castle Miner Z has surpassed the 1 million mark in its first 10 months on sale. It was released September 11, 2011. Castle Miner is a sandbox creation and survival game that draws comparisons to Minecraft, of course. However, the game places more emphasis on first-person shooter gameplay, with Digital DNA describing it as a fast-paced arcade-style experience that focuses on combat and travel. The game currently sells for, and get this, $1. $1, 80 Microsoft points. And the PC version has already been submitted to Steam's Greenlight process. Digital DNA, of course, has sold more than a dozen other offerings on Xbox Live indie games, including the original combat Free Castle Miner, Avatar Laser Wars 2, Avatar Paintball, and Avatar Alarm Clock. But you think about that, at a dollar, even selling a million copies, that's still $1 million.
That is. That's still $1 million. That's not bad.
Work, Digital DNA, work.
Work, work.
Yeah. And I'm proud of you.
So proud of you. All right. So, what have I got? I got, I don't quite know what this is about, but I'm going to read it anyways. Bohemia employees accused of spying say that they are being treated well by Greece. All right. So, there's an update on the official Bohemia Interactive forums revealing that two of the Czechoslovakian, I can't say that word, especially right now, sorry. Men who were arrested, the two Czech men, there we go, Czech men, who were arrested last week in Greece are being doing well, and that Bohemia stands by its statement that the whole ordeal was a big misunderstanding. The two men, Ivan Bukta, or Bukta? Bukta? Anyways, and Martin Peslar, were arrested last week for spying, according to reports. But Bohemia issued a lengthy statement reiterating that the stories about spying and of the duo taking photos and videos of military facilities in the country were not true. Ooh, that would be good if it were. Since last Sunday, when two Bohemia Interactive employees were arrested on the Greek island of Limnos, much speculation about what happened has circulated online. It's been rumored that they entered restricted military areas or gathered photographic references of military bases in order to improve the visual fidelity of Arma 3, a PC game currently under development by our company. Far in advance of any formal charges, only hours after they were detained by the local police, many media outlets immediately suggested spying, and only one day later specifically referenced Arma 3. Having traveled there and after meeting personally with them both, as well as their lawyer who is fully acquainted with the Greek authorities' investigation file in detail, we can assure you that these insinuations are completely false and without substance. These employees, our friends Ivan Bukta and Martin Peslar, visited the island as tourists. Their holiday was a product of their interest in the island, triggered by their work on Arma 3 over the past 2 years of development. They took photographs and videos in public areas, as countless tourists arriving to enjoy the beauty and hospitality of Greece may well do. These included a short video as they drove through the main road passing around the international airport, where in one short part of the video, off in the distance, some hangars and other buildings of the complex can be seen. All right, so in other words, they probably were taking pictures and video of military installations, not thinking about it. Yeah, it's not safe these days and age to do this kind of thing if you're going to do this. So, careful, people, careful.
Yes, indeed. You, military, yeah, those people you don't want to mess with.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. You got to watch Leverage. That reminds me. Season finale of Leverage. Very, very good. Whole lot of military things going on in there that you may not know the military has the ability to do. It's not just a TV show, people. All right. Anybody out there heard of a little company called Aptina? You haven't? Well, they're a global provider of CMOS imaging solutions, enabling image everywhere. They've today announced the release of AR1820HS digital camera image sensor for the consumer market. The new sensor targets high-end compact digital cameras as a high-end consumer DV application. The AR1820HS delivers stunning 18-megapixel high-resolution images with a new high-performance 1.25-micron backside illuminated, also known as BSI, pixel, fitting into the half- and third-inch mainstream DSC optical format. It also brings Aptina's BSI pixel technology together with high-speed sensor architecture to enable a new class of high-performance cameras. APIX-HS is what it's being called. Technology provides high quantum efficiency, low noise, and low power consumption, enabling uncompromised image quality for both still images and full HD video. The image sensor and the Aptina's APIX-HS technology provide OEMs with the combination of exceptional image quality and high-speed capture features, which are needed to create compelling new generation of consumer camera products. The rich feature set and ability sensor allows cameras to implement a wide array of capture modes. The native 18-megapixel resolution can be read at up to 24 frames per second, enabling high resolution and high speed burst still image capture capability. In video mode, the sensor can output 16:9 aspect ratio, full field of view, 14 megapixels at 30 frames per second, and bend 8 megapixels at 60 frames per second. This oversampled image readout enables superior resolutions, noise performance, and cleaner overall video. This will all be on your cell phone. It's going to be hot. So we will post that up for you on the site. You can take a look at one of the images that was captured with the new Aptina. It is absolutely just delicious. Now, not only did they do that today, they also have a camera sensor that's supposed to bridge and mirrorless camera, their mirrorless camera market. You know, when you're trying to take a picture of yourself, you can't really see unless you have the rear-facing camera.
Yeah.
They seem to have they're putting something like that out today, too, as well. So probably our next generation of phones, because they're not saying who they're giving this technology to or who's buying it, but I'm willing to bet Apple's probably on it like flies on the trash. I mean, I had to use that imagery. So, again, we'll have these up on the site for you to take a look at the specs and everything, because it's a whole lot of specs. But if you're into digital photography, you'll probably love it. And thanks also, Aptina, for sending this to us in Japanese. We can't read Japanese, but we like it. We like it.
We can't read it, but we like it.
I got at the bottom of the page. I was like, what is it? Oh, it's in Japanese. No, we can't read that. I mean, go over to the English part, but thank you. Maybe we might put it up for our Japanese readers. I don't know if our characters, Japanese characters, will copy into our site, but we'll try.
All right, Australian AG, green lights, MA15+, and R18+, game rating classifications. I'm pulling
this from
GamePolitics.com. Mm-hmm. Just popped up just this morning, actually just a couple of minutes ago. Australia's Attorney General John Rowe has done an about face, according to InDaily, who reports that he is giving a green light to both MA15+ and R18+ games rating classifications. Previously, he has made a decision to abolish the MA15 classifications in South Australia when the new 18 rated game classification was approved. The Attorney General said that the recently released guidelines were stringent enough and different enough from an earlier draft he had some qualms about. The new MA15+ classifications is now so different to the previous one that I can no longer see an issue with it. I will, however, keep a watching brief on MA15+ games. The guidelines included much tighter requirements for every level of classifications, in particular what constitutes MA15+. The new R18+ classifications and the new guidelines are set to be introduced in Australia on January 1st of 2013.
No.
So, way to go, Australia. Yay, y'all can finally play violent video games.
Because that's what it's all about, after all.
Yes. And then it can be, you know, all this other stuff can be blamed on it.
You can be like us bloody Americans.
Mm-hmm. Bloody Americans.
You bloody Americans.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't know who Aslan is again, but stop inviting me back to World of Warcraft. I don't know who you are.
I'm sorry, I had to laugh at that.
I want you to return to World of Warcraft. I don't know who you are, dude.
Yeah, I like when I get those. So-and-so is inviting you to play. Be like, who is this? Inviting me to play what? I'm not clicking on that.
Mm-mm.
I'm not touching that.
Mm-mm, I don't know who you are. If I knew who you were, I might click on it, but no. Probably not.
Okay, I was going to say something about a new thing we were looking at this morning, the thing I sent you, but I don't see that they're online. So we may tell you all about that later on in the week, a new service. But also, we need to look it over. I can't be, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah, we can't be endorsing. We got to play with this a little bit longer. I was going to do it, but I'm not. All right, other interesting news. What is with the news this morning?
I don't know. What's going on?
I got a bunch of stuff that just keeps popping in. Yeah, let me go over to this. Apparently, the Wii U is having a little bit of trouble, people are saying. It's struggling.
What?
They're saying it's struggling to build some buzz. I hate these kinds of stories, honestly. I think this is an idiotic story. They're saying because of the iPhone 5 unveiling, the Wii U has lost its buzz. All right? Now, okay, so last week, GI International ran an article that was asking if Nintendo Wii U's launch announcement would be overshadowed by Apple 5's long-awaited iPhone unveiling from the day before, and people are saying yes. But a few letters and some punctuation doesn't quite cover it. So if you go to a trend Twitter analytics service that's called hashtag.org and check them out, it says that the hashtag for the iPhone 5 and the hashtag for the Wii U tags from Tuesday night through Thursday afternoon. It says, even as we use hashtags, peak use in the moments after Nintendo's conference concluded, the console, the hashtag was trailing in buzz to the iPhone 5. And that was almost a full day after the details of the iPhone 5 had been confirmed in a presentation that wasn't streamed online even. While it's obvious, they're saying that Apple and Nintendo's social buzz operate in different orders of magnitude these days. It wasn't always that way. If you check a Google Trends comparison of the terms Wii and iPhone back in 2009, the two were in the same ballpark. Context light data aside, a lap around some of the biggest mainstream sites in the world Thursday revealed, of course, that the Wii U's was not creating much of a stir. I don't like the comparison. This is a phone compared to a console, really? And the console's not out yet. There are some people are not even taking pre-orders, as we told you yesterday. And Wii U people don't tend to be on Twitter. They're usually just waiting for it to come out. Wii people are like, just give it to me. I just want to play. You're not going to hear anything from these people. Same way as I tell you all, you know, once I get my hands on The Sims. And by the way, Joe, you're in trouble. I didn't get to get Frankie today, but tomorrow it's on.
Tomorrow it's on?
It's on, Joe. It's on. Or maybe not. But anyway, I got something to do in the morning. But you know, it's coming, Joe. It's coming. But I really don't talk. I'm not on Twitter posting about my Sims when I'm playing. And I'm guaranteeing you, the people, once they get the iPhone 5 in their hands, they're not going to be posting about it either. They're going to be playing with their iPhone. But, you know, they may tweet and say, I got it. But after that, it's going to be like, ooh, app. Ooh, look at this app. Ooh, Siri, they're not going to be stopping to tweet every 5 seconds. So I always hate these little stories. It's like, it looks like it's more popular.
All right. Obsidian's Project Eternity hits $1.5 million milestone.
Yay!
That's a lot of money. GamePolitics.com, late last week, Obsidian Entertainment announced a new RPG project and a Kickstarter campaign to fund its development. In only a few days, the new RPG managed to rake in $1.5 million in funding from 37,482 backers, with 29 more days to go. Yay! They have also passed one stretch goal, $1.4 million, that adds one new playable race, class, and companion. Obsidian has a bunch of ideas for further stretch goals on the Kickstarter page. In addition, Obsidian announced that they are looking into making the game DRM-free. The game is being developed by legendary game designers Chris Avalon, Tim Kane, and Josh Sawyer, who have worked on such RPG hits as Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale, Planescape Torment. Yes, they're all awesome. Project Eternity hopes to recapture the magic of some of those classic RPGs that fans love and add new gameplay layers and decent writing to make the game a huge success. All right, so if you want to check that out, that's over on Kickstarter.com, kickstarter.com/project/obsidian/project-eternity. Or, you know, just go to GamePolitics.com.
I would like to tell you all, there's free madness to all of you.
Free madness?
Yes. Today, developer Red Wasp Designs announced the release of a free, I said F-R-E-E, free version of their popular iOS title, Call of Cthulhu, The Wasted Land. Until now, the game has only been available as part
I saw that, but I can't ever say that darn name, so I was like...
Cthulhu? if it's messed up, whatever. They need to send it with the pronunciation next time if we didn't say it right. Okay, so it's available as a paid-for title previously, but the free version will allow some of you out there to dip your toe in the pool of insanity first. In the free version, the first mission, titled The Battle of Pudding Lane, and the training missions are free. From there, if you're still not sure about diving in, you can continue onwards paying 99 cents per level, which is not good, not bad. However, from this point, if you're enjoying the game, and it makes much more sense to buy the full game because it's only $4.99, and both versions of the game's new DLC can be purchased as well. The game's designer, Thomas Rowlings, is quoted as saying, "We wanted to give players who might be interested in either the game or the concepts a chance to try out the title before they committed their hard-earned cash to it." Thank you for recognizing that we earn our cash hard. With the free version, they can try the game out first, and then if they like what they see, we hope that they'll buy the full version. Now, they're saying if you're new to this cult title, it is a turn-based RPG inspired by the writings of classic horror novelist H.P. Lovecraft. Red Wasp Design cooperated with the publishers of the paper version of the RPG Chaosium in making the game. The normal version of the game features 9 3D levels set in the trenches of World War I. In the Wasted Land, the player uses their team of investigators to uncover a deadly conspiracy underlying the Great War. As the game progresses, the player can build up skills, weapons, and equipment of their team. Barbed wire, mustard gas, and machine gun will prove to be the least dangerous things the investigators will uncover as they venture out into no man's land to solve the mystery of the Wasted Land. If you want to stay in touch with the developers, because they like to talk, I hear, or if you want to keep up with the game strategy guides, you can go over to their Facebook page, Red Wasp Design on Facebook. And you can also follow them on Twitter at Red Wasp Design, and their website, redwaspdesign.com.
Yay!
I am kind of have a tickling of interest in this, just slightly. They also have a trailer. We're going to put this up on the site for you lovely people.
Okay.
Don't ask why I have an accent today.
All right. Game Mill Entertainment announces that Hotel Transylvania ships this week for Nintendo DS and Nintendo 3DS.
Stop.
Yes.
Oh, man. I almost bought a hotel game in Micro Center the other day. It was $6. And I know it had to suck because it was $6, but I was like, it is a hotel simulator.
Yeah. You cannot get simulators around, Corey, because...
I do. I have a wall of simulators. I have some you guys have never heard of. One is called Rock Mania or something like that. You have to manage a rock band, and you have to mix their music. I love that freaking game.
Coffee. You know, a friend of mine... English person, had me playing a rock game simulator the other day, and it was actually really good.
Was it one on Facebook?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That one will not run in my browsers, in any of my browsers. I know which one you're talking about.
Oh, it's so good. You would love it. You really would. I don't know what I'm doing, but it was really good. All right, so Game Mill Entertainment and Edita, don't care who you are, announced today Hotel Transylvania, available exclusively on Nintendo DS and Nintendo 3DS, has shipped to retailers everywhere. Hotel Transylvania is a side-scrolling action-adventure video game based on Sony Pictures Animation's upcoming animated comedy Hotel Transylvania, set to hit theaters September 28th of 2012. That's just 10 days from now. Count Dracula's five-stake resort welcomes you. Hotel Transylvania, where monsters and their families can live it up, free to be the monsters that they are with no humans around to bother them. Dracula's beloved daughter, Mavis, is turning 118. Dracula
Mavis
invited a few of his closest friends, Frankenstein and his wife, the mummy, the invisible man, and the werewolf family to Hotel Transylvania to celebrate her special day. Catering to these monsters is a delight for Dracula, but everything could change for the overprotective father when one ordinary guy stumbles through the hotel and takes a shine to Mavis. Awesome.
That name.
It's actually based off that movie that's coming out, isn't it?
I am not you know what? You may be right. I've forgotten about that movie because I'm all about Wreck-It Ralph, seriously.
I know, that looks so good. All right, so this is rated E10+, everyone 10 and over by the ESRB for, they say if you want more information, I'm going to make you go to GameNatrix.com and get it. Oh, yes, I am. Woo. So head over there in just a minute and you can check it out.
Woo, woo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, it is based off the game or off the
movie.
Off the movie.
You know what?
And I can't wait to see this. I've seen the clips and it looks really good.
So Wreck-It Ralph or
Hotel Transylvania, but Wreck-It Ralph looks amazing.
I like the zombie.
Yes.
I cannot wait for that movie. I'm sorry. I'm all excited. Okay, we got 7 minutes. Let me do one more. Then you do one more, and then we can go. I'm being distracted. It's not cute.
Stop texting her that hard.
Please do. I'm having trouble focusing. Okay. Trey.
Wow.
Give me a minute. Give me a minute.
Stop having carries.
Okay, so Google Plus, we less than 3U. Google Plus has user base. Their user base has been multiplying in an update to its own
Google
Plus page.
Yes.
Google Senior Vice President of Engineering Vic Gundorta confirmed that the search giant's social network this week eclipsed the 400 million mark. Work, Google.
Yay! That's awesome!
Right. In addition, Gundotra said that the service's monthly active user base has crossed 100 million, split between Google Plus's website and its mobile app. They're saying it was only a year ago that we opened public sign-up, and we couldn't have imagined that so many people would join in just 12 months. He says, while Google Plus is all about creating a better experience across Google, it also has a destination. Launched with an invite-only beta in mid-2011, Google Plus introduced games to its feature lineup in August with titles like Angry Birds, Bejeweled Blitz, and now-defunct Dragon Age Legends, which is sad because I went to try to craft some potion on my phone, and it's like, what happened to my Dragon Age? Anyway.
Aww.
Currently, it has 41 titles on offer for users, and their store is so much cleaner than Facebook when you go to look for games.
Yeah.
Anybody else out there notice that? When you click to go, it's not, you know, Facebook kind of mashes everything together. So you click on stuff, you're not really sure what you're clicking on. When it says click here, it might be a game, it might be a... Theirs is specifically labeled games. When you go there, everything is clean, lined up. You know, the boxes are there, and when you put your mouse over it, it even tells you what the game is about. They're not trying to trick you into clicking on it like they do on Facebook. There's no loud music that comes on in your ears. You know, you're at work trying to be quiet, and it's dang, you know, none of that business. They did it right. So I like playing the games on Google Plus. Just don't have that many people to tease and play back and forth with. I think there's somebody I'm playing with that I have no idea who you are. I'm sorry.
I really need to go over there and give my Google Plus some love.
Have fun.
Love.
Yeah, I have a zombie lane there, and I have a zombie lane on the iPad, and then one on the Facebook. So I move between the three of them.
In the foot with my zombie lane. I completely blocked off my area so I had like no zombies, so then like I'd get bored.
Aww.
Yeah, you kind of need zombies.
Kind of got to let them in, got to go away and come back for
yeah.
Want me to knock down your fence?
No, that's fine. I let them do it. I'm letting them come back and yeah, I got some to fight now. All right. It is the holiday season. Everybody's getting geared up to eat lots of bread and cookies and candies and pies and cakes and well, I guess it's time to work out again. Discover your celebrity body with Harley Pasternak's Hollywood Workout, available now on Kinect for Xbox 360 and the Wii.
Ooh.
The number one workout for Hollywood's A-list can work for you, too. All right. So, Harley Pasternak's Hollywood Workout is available now for the Xbox 360 and the Wii. It gives players direct access to the workout program that Hollywood celebrities, including Lady Gaga, Jessica Simpson, Katy Perry, and Rob Pattinson, used to get in shape. Harley Pasternak himself will be there every step of the way, helping people of all fitness levels reach their goals with his signature five-factor program. My proven five-factor program is a quick and easy way to follow fitness and diet regimen that has helped my celebrity clients transform their bodies. Now red carpet results are attainable right in your own living room. Developed by Heavy Iron Studios, Harley Pasternak's Hollywood Workout integrates Harley's renowned five-factor fitness program, which requires just 25 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Train with Harley in posh environments, including a beachfront condo, downtown Los Angeles loft, and a swanky Hollywood Hills home. Follow your progress with this fitness tracker, a detailed calendar, and that tracks workouts, points earned per day, estimated calories burned, and time left in the program. All right, so the workout is rated E for everyone and is available now for Kinect and the Wii for a suggested retail price of just $29.99. Awesome. All right, so if you want to check this out, I have it up on GameMatrix.com this morning. That is new.GameMatrix.com. Check it out.
All right. And I'm trying to make sure not to click the wrong thing because we have some music here that is not safe for work. It's not safe for work. All right. So anyway, you guys, it's time for us to get out of here. News is over for the day. Get out of here. Go get your sandwich if you haven't eaten already. Bad ginger. Bad ginger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we will see you guys tomorrow. I'm trying to play music, but it's not working out. Anyway, it's Tuesday night, so we'll be here later on tonight. Pixanista. Got some interesting apps I found on the Google Play App Store to do with Pixanista. I found a ton of them. You won't get to hear about all of them tonight. And of course, I think we need to feature some of Ginger's stuff tonight, I think. She's going to hate me. Stop it, Corey. Well, you weren't here last week, so we got to put you on the spot.
All right.
And you were missed. People were like, where is the lovely little cutie voice of Ginger?
I was gone, man.
Yes,
girl, I was kicking my butt all over the place.
And we missed you and loved you.
Yes, I missed y'all too. I feel glad you're back.
All right, MC Frontalot, take it home. Chrome screen, risque, the hay, quintuple X obscene. Male soup shaved themselves so cleanly. Twins in positions unseemly. My spleen ain't the part that gets vented. I grabbed a hold and fast like a minute. Just end it. Probably ought to leave it alone. Spend more time stroking on my microphone. Got a boatload of midgets and they're in command of a full-grown woman on her knees. And got a long, hard donkey and a farm girl too. And the braying so dismaying when it starts to spoo. You gotta click, close, put it away. Cause the internet is F-I-L-T-H-Y. Lurking in past chance on the IRC, got DDC unexpectedly with an 80-minute exit, nuns in heat, part 3, bad habit, I'm so relieved that I had that one already. Skipped to the park with the fishnet teddy, whipped it out, but to my chagrin, one toss from a wind when the boss walked in, said, front that terminal ain't for a latex crucifix, making a taint in big 32-bit color, while them rosary beads get yanked out the cruller. I said, you can't find me, I quit, opened up the case, yanked out the hard disk, absconded, all with the data in hand.
Later, boys and girls.